So in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we're very familiar with these. I hope we are. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now, that's very important, because that is germane to the message. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as I spoke, I said I'd speak of two eras this morning. In the New Testament times, the gospel as such, in other words, the gospel was an unknown thing. It hadn't been really preached yet. Do you know, if you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it was happening. It was occurring as they were there and they walked with Christ and Christ was crucified and Christ rose from the dead, and they didn't have internet and such. And so I would call that an evangelistic time. That's one era the gospel was unknown. It was being put out there. But I would say that in today, the gospel is well known. Matter of fact, I'd say it's known of all. I can't imagine, unless somebody was just born in a jungle somewhere, and even they might know, of the gospel of Christ. And prior to Christ, let's go back to even the Old Testament, all they had was the Jews' religion. Well, you and I are Gentiles. We wouldn't have even had that, because we were Gentiles. So when you think about this 6,000 years, you think, well, the first 4,000, that was for the Jews. We're Gentiles. We didn't have that. And then for the next 2,000, they started preaching Christ and Christ crucified. Well, now 2,000 years later, everybody's got that. And so with Christ, the gospel was open to the Gentiles. So we have all that. But it's these two eras that was puzzling to me. We thus today live in a distinctively different era than those of the New Testament that we read about, that we're reading about this morning. Or perhaps even the Bible itself. You can't say the era that you and I live in is not dramatically, and that's not a good enough word, different from the era in which they live. And so I thus conclude two courses of action. One of remaining as true to these past times as possible. Is that what we're to do? Or two of living in this present time as it is? And that was my dilemma. How is it that I'm to actually live in this world? In this body. Let me say that the way of life of such is maybe that we have a sort of an example like the Amish. So that's one way we could go back and horse and buggy and no electricity and dress a certain way. And then you have everything else like you and I are living right now. We're having phone. Most of the church is on an iPhone, okay? And that reveals the great contrast between, and doesn't even do a good job of it, between Bible times and this present day that we live. Now, it's said that Cain slew Abel. It doesn't mention in the Bible, but it does in some other books, that he slew him with a rock, with a stone. How else would he kill him? He got mad at his brother and he killed him with a rock. That's probably the way that it happened. And thus, now you think about that act, that singular act. He killed his brother with a stone, to the present day weaponry that we have. So that'll start to give you some idea of the contrast. We've not yet mastered how to live, but bless God, we certainly have mastered how to kill to the nth degree. If there's one thing we know how to do, it's kill people. I mean, we can drop an atomic weapon on them and kill millions at one time. So we've gone from a rock to an atom or hydrogen bomb. We've gone from in the beginning. Now listen, we've gone from in the beginning, the first three words of this book, to FaceTime. I could be FaceTiming all of you this morning. I could go on satellite and we could have church just like you're sitting here. FaceTime communication anywhere in the world, a man in China, because of satellites orbiting the earth. These people could have no idea of any such thing. A little piece of plastic in my hand, and I could see Jeff Boyd in Marin County, California, 2,000 miles away. So once again, do we kill the technology? Is that how we're to live? Is that how we present our bodies? Do we go back and live like the Amish? Where do we draw the line? I can easily... Does anyone here desire to live without refrigeration? You ever think about that? Just not having a refrigerator? Or electricity? Anybody want to go that route? Let me know how much fun that is. How about indoor plumbing? Ever care for a horse? Ever owned a horse? My dad was right when he said, son, if someone gives you a horse, they're not doing you a favor. Oh, how right he was. Is that what you want? A horse? That's what the Amish use. That's their primary mode of transportation, the horse. One almost killed me, and I'm crippled to this day. Every single day, I'm reminded of what that horse did to me. And did you know that most in the Bible, those that we're reading about in the Bible, Paul, they didn't even have a horse. Paul didn't have a horse. David did. Paul didn't. So here we are with this ancient book, so to speak, in these modern times. To that, I think we can all agree. Planes flying overhead. I can go get on a plane. I could be at Jeff's house for supper. Because I'd go back. I'd actually be going back in time that direction, headed west. I can get on a piece of aluminum, an aluminum tube, and in 4 hours be at Jeff's house. How could anything like that have been imagined? And the issue couldn't be more pertinent. So I must relate this King James Bible to this iPhone, this Apple iPhone. Which, by the way, is a Bible. I can pull the Bible up on it. Can I not? Everywhere I go, you have your Bible with you? Yeah, click, click. Here it is right here. I've got a big Strong's Concordance. I've had it for years. It's almost wore out, but it hadn't been used in years. Because in the mornings when I study, I just punch my iPhone. I just type the word, or I'm looking for a reference. I have many concordance. I just punch the iPhone. So if I take a step back, let's say, like an Amish way of life, and we talked about that in our work and in this church, we discussed that at length. What if we just go back and live this way, sort of an Amish way of life, okay? Not necessarily in doctrine. I'm not necessarily speaking doctrine. They have a doctrine. But dress, let's say dress and amenities. Okay, if I do that, you've all seen the Amish. Am I thus more holy? Oh, well, I'm holy now. I got rid of that evil electricity. I don't have that evil refrigerator and iPhone. Is this iPhone evil? Is this iPhone capable of evil? You see? I can go throw it in the fire and it's not capable of anything. It's man. So I go dressed this way, and I wear the straw hat, and I grow the beard, and I ride a horse instead of a car. Am I more Christ-like? Because now I live like he did. My feet are dirty. I know his feet were dirty. He washed their feet. He didn't have socks. He had sandals. And they had dirt roads. They didn't have concrete and asphalt. You ever ridden down a dirt road? You ever ridden a tractor? It'll beat you to death. A tractor. Not a horse-drawn plow. A tractor. Very little is spoken of in the New Testament concerning dress codes. Did you know that? And yet we've emphasized such. Churches have emphasized such. Very little. Modest. But even that open to interpretation. You see? How about the fig leaf? Most say an apron of fig leaves. Okay? How big an apron? You see? Or amenities, for that matter. Tell me in the New Testament where it talks about these things. Name me once, thou shalt not ride in a chariot. Thou shalt not ride in a Chevrolet. Thou shalt not ride on an airplane. Thou shalt not wear blue jeans. You can only wear green jeans. Thou shalt not listen to the radio. Oh, you can't listen to the radio. Or even watch TV. You can't listen to that kind of music. Really? I can't? Well, how come? Well, it's not about Christ. Well, neither is the weather. Neither is that refrigerator. Thou shalt not use text or email. You can only use snail mail, what we call snail mail. That's all you can use. Well, that's all Paul used. Okay, well then Paul didn't have a refrigerator. Why don't you get rid of your refrigerator? Let's get rid of this iPhone. He didn't have that. Let's throw the iPhone out and we'll write letters to each other. Let's get rid of the iPhone. We should just have wall phones, landlines. Really? You see the point of the fig leaf? I've known churches, you can't wear open-toed shoes. Boy, Christ and the apostles have been in trouble. Couldn't wear open-toed shoes. Socks. Had to wear socks. Peter, we got to have socks to get in here. Well, Paul, I don't even know what those are. Did we write about socks? I don't think we have yet. Shirt tail, in or out? How about Colossians? Taste not, touch not, handle not. Doctrines of men. Hello? It's all about fig leaves. And today, here we are with aliens. We've got demons being passed off as aliens, and we're worried about eating bacon. Do you see? We're trying to decide on what's allowed on a Sunday, Sunday, the worship of the sun god. Oh, well, Saturday is the Sabbath. Oh, Saturn day. I see. What about moon day? All of these are pagan days. Every day of the week is of pagan origin. So do I stop doing days? Oh, well, we're Christians. We can't do days. They have pagan names. Well, what day is it? Well, it's the day after yesterday. Do you see? I'm not conformed to this world. He talked about your mind. I'm in the world. It doesn't mean I have to be conformed to the world. But you have a calendar? It's got all those pagan days on it. Let me ask you something. If the Apostle Paul, you've read the letters, I'm in Corinthians now, and he wrote these two long letters to to the church at Corinth. If Paul had been able to pick up an iPhone or a telephone and contact the Corinthians, do you think he would have sent Timothy with that long letter? By who knows what means, they didn't have mail carriers. And sometimes the letters didn't make it. Sometimes the ship sank. Do you think that? You know why I wrote these words? I wrote them on paper that you're now hearing. I use a pen and I use paper. Do you know why? I can't type. If I could type, guess what? I can't type. So I write. Paul, you need to go to Rome. Paul's in Jerusalem. You need to go to Rome. Okay. I can book you a flight and you can be there in 3 hours and 20 minutes. Jerusalem to Rome. Wow. Or you can figure out the 1,425-mile trip best you can. But you need to light a shuck. That's an old Southern phrase. You need a lot of shuck. That means get going. Because you can only travel on about 15 or 20 miles a day. And it's going to take you a while to get there. You might find a ship going. If you can find a ship and when it's leaving and where it's going. And it's probably going to make a lot of stops. Which they did. We've got great accounts of this. You see. You ever read of Paul's boat trips? Yikes. The time he spent in the deep, shipwreck. Hey, Paul, they just completed an interstate, and I've got an air-conditioned Suburban waiting outside. You in? You want to go? No, I think I'll walk and take a ship, if I can find one. Do you understand? Now, where were we? Ah, yes. Any Amish wannabes still around? Why on God's earth do you want to get rid of your refrigerator and your electricity? And we've got firsthand knowledge of the holiness of those Amish people. I'll tell you what is around, okay? And I'll tell you that nothing can separate me from him. Not refrigerators, not iPhones, nor electricity. Or airplanes. No form of transportation. No various types of modest dress. No meats not offered to idols. No so-called holy days. No music, news, events. I can surely tell you what cannot separate me from Christ. How so? I can't be separated. Now you get that. That's the answer. I cannot be separated from Christ. And if you can, you're not in him to begin with. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm asking you. You ever read the list? Let's look at it. Turn back a couple pages in your good Bible there. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. And there's many more examples. He said, I'm persuaded. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I know this. I'm persuaded. Death, neither death. If death can't separate me, how on God's earth do you think an iPhone or a satellite's going to separate me? Nor life, nor angels. No angels. Good angels, bad angels. Aliens, you know. Nor principalities, no government. There's no government, there's no political edict that's going to separate me from Christ, nor powers. There's no power, nor things present. Now look, or things to come, or things to come. Paul said, nothing's going to separate me from Christ. Well, Paul, you didn't know they're going to have a Beatles, and they're going to have dances, and they're going to fly around on airplanes, and they're going to do that. He said, I can't separate me from Christ. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see that? Things present or what? Things to come. Glory to God. What state was Paul content? Any state. Any state. You remember in the Bible, Naaman, and he got cured of the leprosy, and said, you know, my master makes me go eat and they do it to idols and such. He said, but when I do that, he said, it won't be. You know why? Yeah, he had to sit there and eat. But do you remember our text? How do you not conform to your mind? By your mind, you see. iPhones, satellites have nothing to do with it. Not people, and I hear people all the time, well, you're corrupting their minds. I remember this, rock and roll. Oh, rock and roll is going to corrupt the children. Lord have mercy. I guess we didn't have any corrupt children before the rock and the roll. I got news for you. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil took care of that a long, long time ago. It's what you think about those things. You know, I play golf all the time. Golf could become an idol. It's what I think about that golf. But if I play golf every day of the week, it doesn't mean it's an idol to me. I eat every day of the week. Almost eat steak every day of the week, you see? If he was here today, he'd still be Paul. And if you and I, those in Christ, had been back there with him, how might we have been? In Christ. Whatever state we're in. I didn't make all this stuff. You want to give up where you're sitting right now? You want to give that up? And that'll make you more holy? Amenities, food, such as that. Jesus Christ. Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same when? Yesterday, today, forever. You see, no matter the changes in temporal, no matter those changes, oh, well, now we can do this, and now we have AI, artificial intelligence. And we know what that is because the Vice President of the United States told us it's two letters. AI. I like AW better, but that's another story. AI. You know the tip off of that? How about the word artificial? Come on, people. You see, you think artificial intelligence is going to take me from the love of Christ, out of Christ? Nothing can separate me. Nothing. Oh, you listen to that, you'll be really? Oh, you wear that, you'll be oh, okay. Well, if you walk that way, you'll be... Well, if you do that... No, nothing. Nothing separate me. You better not walk naked through the world 3 years. That'll do it. Poor Isaiah. You see, no matter the changes in temporal things, Christ yet the same. And he is in us and us in him. If you look at verse 3 of our text in Romans chapter 12, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, conformity is not natural. It's faith. It's faith. My conformity is of faith. That's how faith works. That's what faith is. in Christ. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm not any more conformed to this world because I have a refrigerator than Paul was because he didn't. Do you understand that? It'll set you free. It'll give you peace because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And from that, you cannot be separated.